Hello, everybody. This is the Gingerbread Man, and I would like to welcome you to my home. Thank you for showing up. It's good to see you. Let's get on with it. In the spirit of tonight's topic, I have had no forethought whatsoever. I haven't done any sort of planning. I kind of picked this topic on a whim about 20 minutes ago. And tonight, we're going to be speaking about spontaneity and what it means to be spontaneous. Do you ever act spontaneous? I sure as hell have never been the most spontaneous person. The biggest shadow to this word that I can think of is how I used to explain to people why I lived in so many different places. I went to 14 schools before I ever got to high school. I was born in Tennessee. I lived in Nashville, and then we moved from there to Colorado, and I moved. We lived in Fort Collins for a little bit, and there my father met one of his ex-wife, and there, her mother had a condo in Hawaii, so we even got to live in Hawaii for a little bit, and then we moved back to Colorado, and then we moved to Tennessee again, lived in this place called Mount Charlotte. And then we moved to Florida, and I lived in Pensacola, and then we moved to Gulf Breeze, Florida. And then we moved back to Colorado, and I lived in Salida. And then we moved to Colorado Springs, which is where I currently reside. And I personally do not want to leave this place. I have no intentions of moving for now. In the latter part of my life, I see myself traveling and seeing the world. But that's hard to do with a child, and it's hard to do when you're trying to maintain a home. I couldn't drag my son through the shit that I expect myself to be doing in the latter half of my life. I'm working on fasting because I want to be comfortable with the fact that I can go without food for an extended amount of time gracefully, you know, and still be able to teach. So when people asked me, why did you live in all of these different places? They'd say, was your father in the military? And of course he wasn't. And I'd always just say, nah, my dad, he was just an asshole. And he was very spontaneous. You know, I remember when we moved to Colorado, I remember my father didn't even give me any heads up. He woke me up at like 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. And was like, hey bud, we're going to move to Colorado. And I was like, shit. Okay, well, I didn't have any sort of opinions on the matter because I was like 5 years old. And so I was just like, okay, dad, let's go. Because my life was attached to my parent, you know? And so we just would leave and go places just on a whim whenever it suited my dad. And, you know, he was trying to give me experiences and he was trying to see the world. You know, not a lot of people get to live in Hawaii. And not a lot of people get to swim with sharks and see coral and have a green sea turtle best friend. That, you know, like, even though in hindsight, I became very stressed because I didn't have access to roots and I was always very awkward. So it made it harder to make friends when you're literally out of school for 3 months at a time. You know, I resented it when I was younger, but that spontaneous lifestyle was beautiful and it was gorgeous. And even though I was ungrateful as a child, I'm grateful for those experiences that I now have in my memory, you know? So why am I bringing up the word spontaneous tonight? Well, I just had a beautiful experience with my son. So he started attending this play therapy, which play therapy is the primary source of therapy that's used for younger children, especially very young children that do not have the ability to express themselves. And so my son had a speech delay. And when I was getting him into therapy for behaviors, and I didn't have any sort of way to actually communicate with him symbolically, you know, play therapy was the only option when he was little and, you know, speech therapy. Yet, I always had this friction with it. You know, I'm not good at playing. I've never been good at playing. I read books, as I've mentioned many times on the show. And even when I was my son's age, my primary form of entertainment was books and fiction. And so play is the language of a child. A child may not even know what's going on in their head. They might not have the emotional intelligence to even understand what they're feeling, you know? The best way to be able to hack into their programming is to just simply watch and play with them. And the first run through play therapy, I feel like I was just complete shit. I did not participate as much. He was younger. I used to get tired and I didn't consider how important my part to play was in these interventions. And this play therapist will not give me the option to neglect play. You know, it's not just about me watching him play anymore. You know, one of the things, and I can't remember the acronym, I think it's like PDL or something, but she'll set up a camera. Well, my computer will be a camera, and we'll set it up on a high place in the room and angle it down. And then the therapist will mute her screen and make it so that she's not there. And like after 30 seconds, Odin completely forgets that, you know, the computer's there and that he's even been watched. And then another crucial thing is it's a 45-minute session, so I can't run away. There's like 5 rules. I'm probably not going to be able to remember all of them, but one of the rules is mirror the child. So whatever they do, you know, oh, I see that you're running really fast. You know, if you see a good behavior, immediately, you know, reinforce it. Oh, I really like how you were very nice and thought about me there, you know, and completely ignore bad behaviors, because any attention to a bad behavior reinforces it, you know, even if it's not a reward, right? And follow the child's lead. So I, as dad, have often took this controlling lead, this authoritarian direction with my son. And mostly because I think that I'm incapable of play, you know? And so since it's so uncomfortable for me to just let go and play with this child, I have tended towards running it so that it was more fun for me, but it's selfish. You know, and as soon as you start directing the child, it's not play anymore, because real play is when the child is captain, you know, when he's leading the ship. And letting him steer for 45 minutes is very difficult for my fragile little ego. And I'm working really hard to get past this this play barrier I have with myself, because I can't dread it and I can't be so just stingy with my affections and my ability to sit down with him and do an activity he wants to do. You know, that's being human. That's compassion. Anyway, so we've been doing these therapy, and I want to start instilling this 45-minute time period every day. I think that we should sit down and play together, and I need to pull my head out of my ass every day and do this for him. And I think that this is going to be one of the most healing factors for his difficulties and his stresses that he has right now. This week we went to Brain and Body Integrated, which is a psychologist place, psychiatry kind of. So they do really intense observations that take like 7 hours. My mother helped me, which I'm just unceasingly grateful, because there was no way that I could get that much time off of work with all the other things that I've called off. And, you know, she was there in the clutch, and she helped, and she got him there, and I was able to do all my interview stuff afterwards. And so he has a firm diagnosis now for ADHD and ODD. I have strong reservations about what the ADD ADHD label is. I carried that label when I was younger. I have a very thick muzzle now, and I'm going to be very strict about not wanting medication, because that tends to be the route that everybody discusses when it comes to hyperactivity in children. You know, like, they're not kids. You know, kids are spun out, and my son is extra, but still. So a lot of these structural difficulties that he has with institutions comes down to my ability to show them I'm available to him. And that comes through play. And that comes through listening, and that comes through letting go of the parental melodrama. You know, we are not on thrones. We are not kings and queens. We are very responsible. Yes, very responsible. You know, but that doesn't mean that we need to be dictatorial. That requires letting go. So, spontaneous play was my goal tonight. And I had a pretty good idea for a routine for how we're going to run through bedtime. And I did pretty well. Yeah. So when we got into the room, he had really wanted to start building this Lego kit that he had gotten from my dad today. And it's a 500-piece Lego kit. And so he was a little bit upset that we weren't going to be able to finish it tonight because he can't conceive of how big it is. A 200-piece one for me and him is probably going to take us about an hour to an hour and a half with quite a bit of help from me. And so this thing's a beast, and it's probably going to take us a couple days, and that's fine. This is a great project for me and him, and I was just really, really happy about it. And that's what I thought we were doing today, and he picked it, and so I didn't feel like I was leading, and I was just rolling. And he's like, "Dad, we're going to go build after I get showered. Is that deal?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man, that sounds good." And so when we got in front of the Legos, he's like, "Dad, I don't want to do it anymore." I'm like, "Okay, well, why?" And he's like, "Well, because we're not going to be able to finish it tonight, so I want to do it this weekend." And I was like, "Well, buddy, you know, this is a big project, man. We aren't going to have the patience to be able to sit down and do this in one go. You're going to want to take a break, okay? So we can start it tonight, and then we could finish it this weekend." But at this point, the power play had already come in. He had already decided he didn't want to do it. So me stepping in and trying to push him to do it was parental direction, which was the friction and the rub that was taking away from the experience that I could have had of being able to observe. So I was like, "Okay, buddy, let's go find something to do." So we went into the room, we sat down, and he's like, points to the corner. I'm like, "What are you pointing at?" He's being all weird. I'm like, "What do you want to do?" And he goes, "Piano." And so his piano is covered with shit, like fucking 8 inches of old homework and art supplies, notebooks, toys, Legos, pencils, any and everything that a child could haphazardly stack on a flat surface that they're not using currently. And so he's like, "But it's going to take too long. There's 5,000 pieces of paper on there. Dad, we're never going to be able to do it." So, you know, he started doing his little thing, and he hid underneath the bed, and he didn't see what I was doing. And I just picked everything up in like one lump and just moved it and put it on the dresser. And he's like, "Dad." And he looked up and he's like, "Oh, you already did it." And I'm like, "Yeah, I got you, man. Let's do it." So I moved all the chords, got it in, and he started playing. And he's like, "Daddy, why don't you go get your guitar?" And so my bass guitar needs a lot of work. It needs some soldering on the inside, and I need a new amplifier, period. And so I was struggling in the second. I think, like, what can I go grab? You know, it's 7:30 at night. We live in an apartment complex. I can't go grab any of my woodwind instruments or my brass because that's just loud and abrasive. A saxophone is so loud. When a child, like when I was 10, when I first got the sax, they put you in the back of the room. And I swear that the seats in front of me, I could see their chairs shaking before we got control over our breath control, you know. And so I'm just sitting, I'm like, what am I going to jam with my son with? But this is great. It's a great idea. I'm down. I'm into it. I'm interested. And I can get into this. And so I have a Russian folk instrument called a balalaika, which looks kind of like a triangular lute. It is mainly from like Russia and Siberia and that part of Asia. And so I got it from my grandfather when I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. This instrument is ancient. He refixed it. He refinished it. He re-threaded it with wire, with piano cord. It's got two drone strings and a bass string. And since then, two out of the three strings have broken, you know, but I'm like, okay, this is acoustic. I can do this. And I haven't really played acoustic or anything but bass guitar in a really long time. And this thing is like tiny, man. It's like playing a ukulele you know, and I've never played a ukulele and I have no idea of the intonation or like from fret to fret what the differences is. And it sounded fucking weird. Like, I don't think the fretting was standard like it is fretted on other instruments that I'm used to playing, you know? And so I grabbed it and went in and I sat down on his bed and I was like, and he's like, he went out and I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, we need to get some music to play with. I'm like, whoa. This is between me and you, man. We're playing. Me and you are jamming. You know, we don't need no screens. And surprisingly, with very little fight, he acquiesced and, you know, put it down. And he just started tooting around. And he picks up, I have this introductory piano book for teaching people how to play. And I have intentions to teach myself so that I can teach him. And so he's like, Daddy, can you play any of this music? And I was like, well, no, I haven't opened it yet. And I don't understand how to play piano. But we can open it up and we can go to the front page and we can see what we got. And instead of going into teacher mode, I just went to the first page and I just saw what we had. And before even thinking about notes, you know, they just numbered the fingers where the pinkies are one, the finger next to the pinky is 2, 3, 4, and the thumbs are 5. You know, so they're almost reverse, you know, it's backwards from left to right because that's how the bass and the treble clef work on a piano. And so I was just like, fuck it. The only thing that he really needs to understand right now is that each finger can go on a key. That's, I let go all of the abstractness for me, because usually I would have pushed it way further and way overcomplicated it and made it a lot more difficult. But, you know, I just sat back and I was like, Occam's razor. What's the simplest thing that's not going to stress him out that we can work with here? And just those 5 fingers. And that's the only thing I pushed and tried not to push very much. You know, I just let him do it. Like every couple minutes, I'd be like, hey, try using your thumb and your pinkies too, because the natural inclination is just to use those middle ones. And that's very similar to a guitar. You know, people shun the use of their pinkies, but when you use 4 fingers, you can do a lot more than just 3. You know, and some people even use their thumbs because they got monster hands. But yeah, and we just sat there. The window is open. It's a nice spring day, you know. It was like dusk, sun's going down, everything's gray. The wind was coming in, and me and my son were just jamming freely. And I had no idea what I was doing. And at first, he had no idea what he was doing, but I saw him develop, and I saw him grow. And he was making up his own rhythms and he was figuring out how to use 2 hands in tandem. And I didn't have to push him or tell him to do any of this. You know, I supplied a comfortable environment with as little aggression as possible that was completely supportive, you know, and I let him grow in that environment, you know. That's our part to play as parents. We're not molding a bowl out of clay. We're not painting a picture. We, at the end of the day, we don't have any major say over how our child is going to grow and who they're going to be. You could do everything right and be the nicest, most kindest person ever, and your child can still grow to be Hitler because that's their karma. So, instead of forcing and structuring and manipulating this living being with thoughts and opinions and future thoughts about where they want to be, even if those thoughts are asinine and seem dumb, you know, those are pure, solidaire, and gold. And we have to respect that as parents. And the way that we don't add dust to the luster that is this beautiful creature that is our child is by simply being fertilizer, by giving them the tools they need to do it on their own, by giving love, by reflecting and modeling good behavior, which primarily means working on ourselves first, not stressing about molding our child, but actually focusing on molding ourselves. And by bettering ourselves and by putting ourselves into a better position, we can be the best fertilizer we can be. We want to be cow shit. Okay. But I was just blown away how beautiful that moment was. And, you know, my brain's already planning, you know, I got every art supply in the world. But now I want to go get maracas and I want to go get other instruments that are easy, like drums, like percussive things, you know, like I want to see him frolic in his own creativity. And it was amazing to watch. And it was amazing to tell him how good he did. Another spontaneous moment that I witnessed today that was a little different, because I'm kind of a helicopter parent and I get very anxious towards life, really. And when the most important thing, your child, has any potential, you know, danger, you know, I just have always, you know, I haven't let him, what's the right word here? Not exactly tossing the bird out of the nest because he's too young for that, but he's got to stretch a little bit. And, you know, I've never let him go anywhere outside the house without somebody, a family or anything, you know, and this might sound a little bad, but you know, I trusted the situation and it was spontaneous and it was God-given. And that's why I went with it. You know, I felt the faith. So I opened my back patio just to go check the air and Odin hears some kids playing outside. And amazingly, immediately puts the Xbox controller down and is like, runs outside to go play with the kids. I'm like, fuck yeah. So much better than screen time and numbness. And so, you know, he goes and starts playing with them. And 5 minutes later, he comes back and he's like, Daddy, can I go to the park? And at first, I thought they were talking about the park across the street, which is, you know, across like a pretty big boulevard. And it's a significant enough distance away that immediately I felt my stomach clench and I was like, ooh. Mm. And so one of the kids that was in this group of three, it was a 5-year-old, it was Odin. And then there was like probably this 9 or 10-year-old, you know, and there's a shit ton of kids in this apartment. There's kids everywhere. It's kind of nice. It's a really nice neighborhood. It's clean. It's cheap. My rent just got reduced today. Yeah. It got reduced in Colorado Springs. It's probably the only apartment complex in this whole fucking city that has the rent going down instead of up every quarter. Yeah. And so Odin comes up and then the older boy goes, hey, we're just going to the park right over there. And I didn't know we actually had a park in the apartment complex. So this was new information to me. And I was like, okay, fuck it. And it happened that quickly. There was no chance to second guess it, you know? That's part of the spontaneity of a moment, is spontaneousness cannot be fabricated. You can't choose to be spontaneous. As soon as you're choosing, you're just willed. And so, you know, no thinking. I was just like, looked at the older boy and I was like, can I trust you? He's like, yes, sir. And I was like, okay, cool. The little boy just called me sir immediately, pretty well, pretty respectful. You know, I felt pretty good about it. And I was like, can you keep an eye on him? Make sure he doesn't get hurt. He goes, yes, sir. And so I was like, okay, go ahead. So they started walking and then my brain just started scoping through horror stories. I'm like, what if somebody takes him? I don't even know where it is. What if he goes away and I don't even know where to go look for him? And so I put on my scoot, on my little scoot shoes, the ones, you know, the ones you just slip-ons, you know, my old man shoes. And I ran up, caught up with the kids, and like literally 150 feet from our back door is this beautiful playground with like these huge fucking tapestries hanging over them. So it shades the kids, like, and it's gorgeous. It's a really nice playground. And there's a bunch of kids there. And I had no idea it was even there. We've been here for a whole month. And I had no idea. And I wouldn't have had any idea if I'd kept planning and if I'd kept worrying, you know? So Odin played with the kids for like 30 minutes. And at that point, I had dinner ready. I made some spaghetti with some sausage. Not very good. Definitely cheap, shitty spaghetti, canned sauce. But yeah, it worked out really well. And I hope that gives him a little bit of confidence, you know, because he's never done that before. He's only six. When I was six, I was doing shit like this. I was playing out in the woods, miles away from home. Maybe not at six. But yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that I was able to free roam at six, honestly. Yeah. I remember hunting for skinks in Hawaii with my neighbor friend, you know, like 9 o'clock at night. I was only seven then, you know. But when I stopped picking the moment, two beautiful things happened today. And I can thank myself, or I can thank the world. I can even thank you, you know, maybe by some strange butterfly effect. You happened to do something that made this happen. Everything's interrelated. Everything is a composite. You know, you can take a surface and you can zoom in on it. You know, one of the things that I see flat earthers use, or not flat earthers, one of the things the globers use against the flat earthers is because they always say, well, it looks flat. Use your eyes, use your logic, right? So this dude got a very high-powered camera and zoomed in super close on the surface of a basketball. And he's like, look, turns out basketballs are flat, you know? Like, perspective, you know? How we cut those moments almost makes it how the moment appears to us. I don't know if you catch that, but the way that we approach the moment immediately affects how we perceive it. But that means that we're in complete control at all times, which we are. We've never left this present moment, you know? You constantly have the opportunity to just observe and see the present moment. That is the ultimate freedom, you know? Even if physically we're locked in a jail cell, you know, maybe chemically somebody could shackle our minds, you know? But all things considered, nobody can take you away from who you are unless they break you, which could happen. And if you've been harmed or hurt, I'm so sorry. It's not fair. It's really not for things like that to happen to you. But you also have fodder, and you have this amazing gasoline from that trauma that you can use to make a love bazooka, to gush love any and everywhere that you can. You know, you are a beautiful being. You're a beautiful soul. I'm so grateful that you're here tonight. I'm so grateful that you woke up this morning and that you were breathing. I'm very grateful that I hope you ate breakfast. And I'm grateful that the spontaneous motions of this cataclysmic catastrophe that is our life, you know, I hope it continues to give you beautiful gems. All right. Let's see what Odin thinks about spontaneity, and maybe I'll ask him about what he thought about playing music. Hope you guys had a good night. See you at the end of this.
Hello, people. This is me and the gingerbread man.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, I just woke up.
Yeah. Can you hear the sleep in his voice?
Yeah.
He sounds a little bit sleepy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's my question. I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I had a lot of fun playing with you last night.
Okay.
Did you have fun?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really enjoyed playing music with you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I really liked how it just happened out of nowhere and it was very random.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of that event, a word that could be used to describe that, is spontaneous. It's kind of a cool word, right? There you go, Mr. Yawns. Get it out. So, do you like doing fun things that are new like that?
No.
You don't? Really?
Mm-mm.
Well, tell me about it.
Basically, I don't know.
I think he's just sleepy. Do you want to tell a story before we go?
No, I don't have any stories.
Okay. I'm sorry for bugging you this early in the morning. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.